as the clock ticks down ever more slowly and erratically, as we lurch toward something enormous, something gigantic, something arising to the west called Fukushima. We'll continue to keep you updated on that as they begin now to get ready for the impossible task of manually removing 1,300 4-meter-long, about as thick as your thumb, spent fuel rods in the spent fuel pool. In addition, there are 200 new unused fuel rods, 4 meters long, in that fuel pool. The used rods are more dangerous than the new ones. And remember, the spent fuel pool is leaning. The building is leaning. The rods in the pool have been bent, twisted, broken, and distorted. And they are going to try to pull them out manually rather than use the crane and the computers, which are all shot, can't be used. Keep in mind also the water level in the spent fuel pool diminished to the extent that the boronated rubber covering each of the fuel rods is gone. The radiation just ate it up. So if any two of these rods, 4 meters long, touch each other, there will be an immediate pyrophoric explosion and fire. I'm not talking about a big 500-pound bomb, but it'll be an ignition and a fire. And the radiation coming from that will cause anybody with a brain near there to run for their lives. It's all over. It's that close. Why are they going to try to do this? Because they're out of time. They cannot continue to pour water onto these fuel rods and have the water come out onto the ground, because the ground is already as wet as a bowl of mush. The building is sinking. And if that spent fuel pool with 1,500 fuel rods hits the ground, it's over for the Northern Hemisphere and ultimately the planet. It's that crazy. At least that's what the experts tell me. All right, let's get back to Jordan Maxwell and Joe. We're talking about the controllers who thought up this whole asinine idea of nuclear power 70, 80 years ago, and then made it happen in the 1950s, as they talked about atoms for peace, Glenn Seaborg and the atomic energy folks. And look what we have, an industry predicated on nuclear power plants designed to function for about 30 to 40 years. But then you have to take care of the waste, the spent fuel rods, for 100,000 years. Isn't that smart, ladies and gentlemen?
That brings me to the point I'd like for...
Can you turn Jordan up, Brett, please?
Say it again?
I'm just asking Brett to turn you up a little louder.
Okay. I'd like for Joe just to talk very quickly about the IQ test and how that impacts commerce and government and world religion.
Okay, good conversational point. The old IQ test, Joe, what about them?
Well, I mean, that... You know, you're going back to the days of Binet in France, but then you're getting to an interesting psychologist named Raymond Cattell. Everybody should look Raymond Cattell up. But, I mean, basically, after they came up with these IQ tests, they pretty much came to the conclusion that half the American populace actually are functional morons. Because you just get into statistical distribution of where the average mean of intelligence is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have the theoretical model, which looks nice and symmetrical, but actually the reality is more people are actually, in terms of IQ, below average. And, you know, I mean, I'm not saying IQ tests don't have their flaws, but there's a eugenics agenda behind this when you look at that.
Sure.
And, you know, they're making a reasonable approximation of what people, also known as human resources in any good corporation, are capable of. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they're very much impressed.
No, the IQ issue also is one that is easily addressed through toxic food, toxic environment issues, toxic water, toxic lifestyle. It'll demean the potential for the IQ to expand to its maximum potential.
Right.
And they know very well how to manipulate that.
Maybe exactly. Maybe Joe could talk a little bit about that 1868 law very quickly and how that what that does for us as humans in this country.
Oh, the 14th Amendment?
Yeah.
Well, when you look at the 14th Amendment and you go to Section 4, it's a very interesting statement here. The validity of the public debt of the United States authorized by law, blah, 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 shall not be questioned. Validity of the public debt shall not be questioned. And that makes you, that leads into the question, well, then what is this thing called Social Security? Because whenever you have debt, where you have a loan that has to be collateralized by something or secured by something. So I'm of the opinion everyone thinks the word Social Security means they're taking it in layman's terms. That means I'm going to be secure in my old age. I'm of the opinion that's directly tied to the 14th Amendment, tied to commerce, that there's a growing federal debt and it has to be collateralized and secured by human resources. And the validity of the public debt shall not be questioned. And when you start deviating too far intellectually, I mean, in the broadest sense of the word, you are questioning the validity of the public debt. And, you know, that being said, even with Jones v. Temer, you have no access to the Bill of Rights. Through Title 42, which is for U.S. citizens, you have privileges. You have a Bill of Privileges at your controller's discretion. What of the Bill of Rights they think you need access to when it's transformed into a privilege? So that's what I would say, Jordan, basically when you're discussing that 1868 law. And it's very interesting. Banking in California prior to that amendment, banking in California was illegal. You know, I mean, the people behind the gold rush are probably rolling over in their graves right now.
Yeah. Talk about a little bit about the because this is the other thing I said in the first hour, that there's another facet to Joe's work that I don't know how to explain to the audience how important I feel this particular facet is important, the importance of it, and that is the Nostradamus concept of astrology as opposed to the common term of astrology, and how this Nostradamus astrology is so important and the impact it has in secret ways on world events, world government, world banking, etc. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that magical system that's going on in the world today.
I'll take it from a very practical vantage point and then, you know, go maybe to the more esoteric. Myself, Jordan, and you know it, in the early years, I was always extremely dubious and skeptical of astrology, which I encourage everyone to be. But then again, when you, you know, you read your law or you read a book or something's given to you on a TV, it seems to be everything on this earth. There's always some hidden agenda behind it. It's tainted. There's corruption behind it. And just from on a very practical basis, when you look to the stars, I'm not aware of anyone with enough political influence and clout to rearrange the constellations. So just from a very – just ask yourself a practical question. That being said, that's where you're probably going to get your purest form of some type of undiluted knowledge. That's how I approach astrology. When you ask yourself that question, it does become very interesting. And as you said, Jordan, you went into that word, disaster. If you don't have knowledge of this, your life may very well turn out to be a disaster because everything you're getting on this planet, there's corruption behind it. There's machinations behind it. There's an agenda behind it. Any book you read, change a letter, change a word, changes the whole agenda. And, you know, as you said, knowledge is power. I mean, you take this word government. Right? Isn't that close to the word govern mind? You take the word ment, M-E-N-T, at the end of that. So to have a govern ment, you have to govern the mind.
That's what they meant.
That's what they meant. And also, too, the word government. Well, that's kind of close to the word government. So to control the mint, the power of the purse, it really helps to control the mind. And I think history bears witness to that. I mean, the Catholic Church, when they dominated Europe, you did not think the way they did. You died.
And the root of the word meant is men, so it's a sexist word. I get the conspiracy now.
Yeah. It's fascinating, and especially gets into commerce. And because I've had Joe call me like almost a year before and tell me that a certain month the following year, he said to me, there's going to be a massive, massive banking crisis is going to happen on the earth, and it's going to affect the entire world. And he said, and he gave me the month that it was going to start in, and this was about a year before it actually happened. And when it happened, exactly the month he said, I was amazed that, and then he told me also about a year before, and I think it was 2007, we were talking, and he said, you know, next year in September, someone is going to make a movie or a TV show or something based on your work, and it's going to make you famous, but you won't know anything about it, and it won't happen until the last part of September of next year. And the following year, after the 15th, the thing called Zeitgeist came out, which was based on my work, and I was amazed. That's exactly what Joe said was going to happen, and he's told me so many times about world events that are going to happen, but all of this has nothing to do with astrology. It has to do with a secret way that Nostradamus calculated things. And, 500 years after Nostradamus' death, he's still famous because he was so extraordinarily correct on his calculations. Well, I've had Joe explain to me how that Nostradamus did what he did. And I have watched over the years Joe prophesy things that are going to happen. He does that with me all the time. When I'm talking to him, he'll tell me something's going to happen, you know, 3 or 4 months from now, and the date. And every time it happens, I'm always amazed, but I know this was the kind of thing that Nostradamus was famous for. So I agree. Astrology, in its purest form, going back into the ancient and prehistoric world, was one thing. Modern day astrology is just a game. But there is something to the fact that the stars and the heavens do affect our Earth. And the mere fact that I've had Joe tell me about major events, wars that were going to start, where they were going to begin, and banking crises, et cetera, et cetera. And there's no doubt in my mind that the heavens do impact human society and human life on the earth, and that's why I'm just fascinated with the whole idea of how God's heavens impacts the humans on the earth, and believe me, it does. And so maybe you could talk a little bit about what's going on right now, maybe, in relation to Nostradamus.
And I'll give a little explanation of just my idea, because look, I'm a common guy. I'm a man off the street. I was once the world's biggest skeptic of astrology, and I even remain a little bit now, but there's certain things about it that I see, and as you've said, Jordan, that tell me, no, there is something to this. And my idea at the time, this is some enigmatic form of mathematics. I mean, it's premised on the same principle that always dictates snowflakes shall have six sides. There's some mathematical principle in nature that dictates snowflakes shall always have six sides. So you're looking at astrology. You're not looking at something strictly cause and effects, as if you're a puppet and the planets are the puppeteers. They're a reflection. It's almost like a signal. When you go to a traffic light and you see a red light, is it strict cause and effect that caused you to put your foot on the brake? So it's something working in regards to that. Now, in regards to Nostradamus, I'm of the opinion, because where Nostradamus' work is concerned, you'll see references to Nostradamus in a constellation called Ophiuchus. And just using some basic common sense, this constellation called Ophiuchus does not exist when you're using astrological signs. There is a distinction between an astrological sign and a constellation. And I think Nostradamus was using the constellations. based on the fact there's references to him in Ophiuchus, which does not exist when you're using signs. There's only Scorpio. So that leads me to believe he was looking at the constellations and he was pointing his telescope at the sky. And astrologers today use something called astrological signs. The sign Aries, other than having the same name as the constellation of Aries, they have nothing to do with each other. It's very misleading. And I think this goes back to what they call the Antikythera mechanism, going back to Greece. This has something to do with when Alexander the Greek went into Egypt, and the Greeks changed things for a reason. So does that make it clear, Jordan? Is that a good enough explanation?
Well, yeah, but there's a world of difference between astrology and what Nostradamus was doing. And I've heard you tell me so many times about...
Oh, I'll explain that, too.
Well,
yeah, no, Nostradamus had nothing to do with astrology. Astrology has always been presented to me as having to do with the electromagnetic energy of our solar system, birth time, planetary alignments, and all the rest of it. And the influences, they're very subtle, but they are influences on each individual biological entity. It's like a weather forecast to me. You can still cross the street, but some people would like to know if it's going to be sunny, windy, or rainy, so they can prepare accordingly. It's free will, ultimately. Astrology is fascinating if it's practiced by people who are very good at it. There are a lot of frauds in the field, unfortunately. Now, Nostradamus, of course, and John Hoague is the world's foremost expert on Nostradamus. Nostradamus was a seer, a visionary, a prophet. That's much different than astrology.
That's right, exactly. And but what Joe does is using the Nostradamus concept, comes up with extraordinarily brilliant stuff that I've just been amazed, because he has done that many times. He's told me, a year before, 2 years before something happens, and it's in his, he always says it's just in the stars. I can tell you what's going to happen because of the way the stars are aligning. And so I just consider it to be so important, because I've heard him tell me so many times things which are going to happen, and accurately do. And astrology, as we know it today, is an old Babylonian, Sumerian, Canaanite system. But what Joe is doing is quite different. Like you said, there is something to this whole idea of the planet and the heavens in affecting our lives on the Earth. Of that, there's no doubt. But
Well, in reference to that, Jordan, anyone can go on the internet, and I think there's an article called "When Mars Enters Libra," and it's how the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development programs planetary cycles astrology into their computers. And I believe one of the guys said, "I don't believe in astrology personally, but I owe it to my clients not to prejudice any source of information." So there's people looking at this. There's no doubt about it. And people probably be surprised, some of the people who are looking at this. But I believe that article, just so everyone can verify. Think it's called "When Mars Enters Libra." And it has to do with the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development. And they program planetary cycles into their computer. That's what that article asserts. Now, Nostradamus, too, Jordan, you were saying what he does. Nostradamus uses a solar chart method. You don't use an ascendant. You don't get into descendants. You really strictly don't even require a birth time. That being said, because at his time, 1500s, people weren't walking around with Casio digital watches. And, time probably varied from location to location somewhat. There weren't time zones at that time. You know, people weren't on schedule for their next bullet train, okay? So he was using a solar chart method, and that's when you build your housing system and such, when you put the sun in the first house. And it gets very interesting.
I thought you put the sun in the solarium. Well, that's architecture stuff.
What about also about commerce? Talk a little bit about how our commercial system works.
Well, Jordan, you were talking about James Billington, okay? And then you were talking about religion, commerce. I find it very interesting. We have a something in Jerusalem called Solomon's Temple, and there happens to be a great Jewish scholar named Rashi, alias Solomon Bar Isaac, and his birthday, it happens to be the year 1040. Isn't that interesting? Because we are required to fill out a form 1040 when we work. I think that's an interesting connection. And then you also, let me find the reference here, but you have a 1099. That's the year Jerusalem was captured. So
right.
There's your 1099 form. So in my opinion, as you were saying at the beginning of the show, there is a connection between religion and commerce, and it goes back a long time to medieval Europe, and it goes back to the Crusades, splitting of the Roman Empire, Eastern and Western portions, and we're still living with it. Knights Templar, banking system.
Yeah, and Walt Disneyland here in L.A., Disneyland has a ride called the Pirates of the Caribbean. And the Pirates of the Caribbean were Knights Templars. And the symbol for the Pirates of the Caribbean, as most people know, was a black flag with a skull and crossbone. the skull and crossbone was a Knights Templar, a Masonic Order Knights Templar symbol on a black background. And so today, the Federal Reserve and the Internal Revenue our corporations are incorporated as privately owned companies, but their home office is in Puerto Rico, and it has to do with the Pirates of the Caribbean, because Puerto Rico was one of the islands that the pirates many hundreds of years ago chose to be the dumping place for all of their loot that they were stealing on the high seas, and they picked Puerto Rico to be the one place that all the pirates could put their stolen goods and would be protected. And so Disney today, in keeping with the tradition of the Knights Templar, Illuminati international banking cartels, which comes from the Knights Templars or the Pirates of the Caribbean. And so they're making movies, Pirates of the Caribbean, in honor of the old ancient orders of pirates that were, in the Caribbean and in Puerto Rico, and then to find out that the Federal Reserve and the Internal Revenue are based in Puerto Rico. So there's something going on here on a very dark and high scale that the people of America and the world have no idea how this stuff really works. And Hollywood, as Dick Gregory said, tells you three things. They tell you what your masters have done in the past, what they're doing now, and what they're getting ready to do. And so Hollywood is telling us all kinds of interesting behind-the-scenes stuff in movies.
Indeed they are.
It's called the magic of Hollywood.
Yeah, indeed it is. Hold on a second, Jordan, and we'll come right back with Joe as we continue our conversation here on this Night Before Halloween, the year 2013. Okay, and we are back. Glad you're along tonight. Okay, Jordan, what were you saying there at the end?
Well, I'd like for Joe to talk a little bit about banking that's based on world banking and how it's based on human beings, how it's based on human life. Banking,
how it's
world,
based on
world.
Human greed.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the actual physical banking structure is based on the ownership of human beings.
Sure it is.
And
okay.
Their bodies are security.
That's right. Our bodies are security in this business. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, Jordan, you were mentioning the Pirates of the Caribbean. If one takes a globe and looks at a globe from a distance, you will see two things, land and water. So that would tell me, choosing common sense, you have law of the land and law of the sea. What's interesting about that in connection to the banking system, and Jordan, you explicated on this word, you have a birth certificate. Well, that's what a ship does in a port. You berth the ship. You berth the ship. Now, in regards to the birth certificate, anyone can verify this. This is a letter that came from the FDIC. In Denver, Colorado, some birth certificates were stolen. And then the FBI said, let me read it to you. It says, the items stolen include 2,000 blank state of Colorado birth certificates. And then it says, the Bureau of Federal Investigation has asked the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation to alert all FDIC supervised banks. So birth certificates were stolen. And don't call the parents, don't call the hospitals, call the banks. And it's right here. FIL 41-2002, May 2nd, 2002, right on the FDIC.gov website. So when the birth certificates were stolen, do not call the hospitals. Call the banks.
Go on and explain how banking is based on we humans.
Banking, well, it begins with the birth certificate. That's right there where you're pledged.
It's really a stock certificate, isn't it? Sort of. Your birth certificate is considered by the corporation to be that's a piece of chattel.
Right. It's a chattel mortgage document. That is correct. That's correct. And that all uppercase name, I'm of the opinion the official terminology for that would be a legal entity under Mortmain. And then that right there goes into the definition of a human resource, which I would say means permanent revenue base. And the connection to all this is going to be the Federal Reserve. You know, and they're a private corporation, but they're the way they print the money for the federal government. That's the connection. And then the nexus you're brought into that through is your birth certificate and then through your social security number, which is that has to do with Tontine insurance scheme. That's what that is. So, I mean, this all gets very technical and very dry. But the thing about this is, yeah, you're talking about a nexus to federal citizenship. Well, when you talk about federal citizenship in the banks, with the original 13 colonies, which became 13 sovereign nations or the states united on the United States, some of those states did not have access to the oceans. They did not. So states with access to the Atlantic Ocean, they had an unfair commercial advantage. So you're going to get into the issue, okay, where does maritime admiralty law apply? And where does the common law of the land applied? And they raised the watermark, and they brought the law of the sea onto the law of the land. And then these states united, which are sovereign countries. They're sovereign countries. That's why they have their own legislature. So we have this federal system. And strictly speaking, we're a federated league of nations. They needed a mechanism, a unified mechanism to deal instead of having to deal with Germany and England and France individually, New York being its own sovereignty, Pennsylvania being its own sovereignty, they had to create a corporation to deal with goods and trade coming off the high seas. And that was the United States, which is not the states united on the American continent. And that pertains to what you said earlier, Jordan. It's the president of the United States. There is no president of the states united on the American continent. It does not exist. So you have this federal mechanism, which is basically it was a mechanism to deal with trade and goods coming off the high seas. So it's operating in a maritime admiralty jurisdiction. That's all it can operate in. And then your nexus into that federal maritime admiralty jurisdiction is going to be through your social security number, your federal citizenship. That's all they can deal with. You're in a realm of maritime admiralty law. So but Jordan, you could elaborate on that when you talk about the terminology behind what's called a birth certificate. And the baby is, if you look at the statutes, what they say about a baby, they will say a product of human conception. Look at the various state statutes that are under the Uniform Commercial Code. They will define a live birth as a product of human conception. So, I mean, you're part of this game the moment you're born. That's it.
But this thing was dreamt up by international Illuminati bankers in Europe long before. And this whole idea of the difference between the States United, which is the 1776 as opposed to what happened in the 1870s or 1880s, with the coming of a corporation called United States, which has nothing to do with America. It has to do with a company, a corporation.
George,
and that corporation is using us as collateral.
You mentioned Hollywood. Well, anybody can go to the California government website and verify for themselves under the original California Constitution of 1849, which defines the borders for California. Then in 1879, after the Civil War, when the language of banking changed, okay, that's a substitute constitution. That does not define the borders of this sovereign entity called California. That being said, you mentioned Hollywood, and there's the movie Zorro with Michael Douglas' wife, Catherine Zeta-Jones, and in that movie, you can explain it to the audience better, but they talked about a secret European society, an old nobility who said, this rising star on this continent, this cannot be allowed to stand. It's a direct threat to us and our stature.
Yeah, that was in the movie Zorro, the latest one a couple of years ago that Disney did. It showed the secret societies coming out of Europe meeting in private and basements of mansions, and how they were talking about, we cannot allow California to become a sovereign state and a sovereign country. We cannot do it because it will set a bad precedent, and this whole idea of sovereignty and freedom and all of that, we cannot allow that to happen because the whole superstructure of Western civilization comes from Europe. And Europe has never had a freedom, liberty, and justice, never had the idea of human beings being free. That's ludicrous on the face of it. And so these new upstarts in the States are now talking about sovereignty and freedom and all that nonsense. And so that's why today it's a corporation. There is no freedom.
Like, well, Jordan, let's look at how that happened. Let's look at how that happened.
Let's do that, Joe, in just a second, please. We got to take a break here again. When you hear the music, we need a little pause. We'll do that, and we'll come right back and take a look at how that happened in just a few minutes. Sounds a little Halloweenish. Tomorrow night we announce the winners of the art contest and the ghost story contest. Do be here. And we had some really good entries. You can see the entries right on the homepage there. Just look for the logo on the left side and take a look at the artwork. See which one you like best. We'll name three as winners, first, second, and third place. And there's some good ones. I'm surprised this year. It wasn't a lot, but what's there is very good. Okay. Let's continue where we were, gentlemen.
Well, in relation to Halloween, maybe Joe could talk a little bit about the corporate history and the Vatican's role in the European development of the concept of corporations. You know, can you talk a little bit about the Vatican and corporations and how all this stuff started many, many centuries ago?
I will, George, and I would also like to, before I go to that, you mentioned human freedom. And if we look at what happened in this country, we had a political situation with these colonies where they went to war with a sovereign. And a sovereign, by definition, is not really subject to law other than his own law or their own law. That's the definition of sovereign. The sovereign decrees the law. Well, these colonies went to war with a sovereign, King George III. He lost, allegedly, and the sovereignty, just by operation of law, had to go somewhere. But we had a chaotic political situation. There was no king to transfer the sovereignty to. So by default, by operation of law, it went to the people. And you mentioned the Vatican, and I think the powers that be said there can't be a thing on the earth called a sovereign people. We can't have that. It's that just, you know. And that's where that tie to all Europe comes through. And anyone can verify this. Look at a court case called Lansing v. Smith, and the courts say the people have all the prerogatives of a king. And incidentally, people are not persons. 14th Amendment talks about persons. The introduction to the Constitution talks about people. We the people, not we the persons. So
you know, I'm familiar enough with law that when people start citing cases as precedent in any litigation, the other side will cite just as many as debunking the precedent. I mean, it just gets to be crazy. There are too many judges, too many opinions, and they're almost always at variance with each other sooner or later when you go through the literature. Isn't that right, Jordan?
Of course, of course. I mean, that just shows you it's a man-made system. And anytime you get a man-made system, they're going to be guys who want this as opposed to the other guys on the other side who want that. But there is a general flow of history that I'm talking about and that Joe is talking about. There's a general accepted flow of history of what developed when and how it mutated into something else and then evolved into something else. And so that's what I was interested to have him talk about, is the Vatican and in relation to corporations, and then from there into America and corporations, and then getting into the United States Corporation. And, of course, the United States Corporation is connected directly to the Vatican because the whole superstructure in Washington, D.C. is Roman. It's Vatican-Roman system. But that brings in the connection with the Roman Jesuit system and their connection to what we call the Jewish system and the Jewish laws, which are foisted upon us. It's an incredible story of betrayal on how this government was set up, how the people have been deceived, misled into buying into so-called citizenship. You know, we talked about that before. Everything is based on water. And that's where big maritime admiralty business is done, on a ship, like a citizenship and a sportsmanship and a scholarship. And so everything is based on water. And of course, your body is over 70% water.
And so speak for yourself.
Yeah, and when your body, I mean, when your mother gave birth to you, you came out of your mother's water, and her water broke.
Nah, birth canal.
That's it. And
a
that's
canal.
Why, well, and like I said, when the ship pulls into port, where the ship parks, it's called its birth. And every
Hey, this is
every
a family program, Jordan. Be careful.
Yeah, well, and every item coming off that ship has to have its own certificate, so it has to have a birth certificate. And we are nothing more than a movable property. We're owned.
Right.
And so all of this stuff has to do with business, politics, government.
You know, the image I like that people have talked about, of course, but if you pull back and look at a night shot of the U.S. or even a state, and you'll see cities and you'll see the roads, the daytime map too. It's very much based on the human body. Roads, highways, arteries, to two-lane roads, to single-lane alleyways, those are capillaries. You can just look at it as a replica of a living organism. It's very interesting to me. It always has
been.
Well,
we even say that. We even use the word arteries.
That's right. Traffic arteries, you bet.
Yeah. So, like Manly P. Hall said, man is the measure of all things. I mean, everything around us in the universe. Man, mimics nature. We mimic nature. Our radar, based on our study of bats, and so much of our technology we get from the animal world.
Well, those traffic arteries we're talking about, think of it.
Yeah.
All the nutrients to feed the body itself, the mass body, are transported through the arteries and the streets, just like through the blood vessels, and it's all there.
Yeah, It's all there, and it's all, and it all works because there is a hidden power behind it. And I'm totally convinced of that. That there is some sort of an unseen dark darkness in the world, unseen dark power, so to speak, that is behind the political and religious structures of the world. And that, I don't even worry that much about the commercial, because commerce is only a part of the major foundation, which is political and religious. And when we get into the religious foundation, now you're getting into some really dark stuff. And it goes back into the ancient world, 7 to 10,000 years ago, and what the concepts and the ideas and belief systems of people. You know, so the idea being today is that the more we change, the more we stay the same, because we're still buying into some of the most ancient pagantry the world has ever known. And I am amazed at how much sex and pornography and violence is inculcated into the Jewish religion, into Christianity, into Islam. It's an extraordinary story when you start dissecting the three major religions of this world, and you find out it's all based on sex. It's based on usury. It's based on the manipulation of human beings. That's why I have no respect whatsoever for Judaism at all, period. I have no respect for Christianity as it's given to us today, period. Nothing about Christianity today matches the old ancient religions of you know, what we originally call Christianity, as opposed to what it is today, bears no resemblance whatsoever. And when you start breaking down the dark, dark, hidden history of Judaism and finding out that almost everything in Judaism has to do with perverted sex, orgies, it's an incredible story. And that's why today, by their fruits, you shall know them, the three major religions of the world, and what is the basic fruitage of those three great religions of the world: bloodshed, war, violence, alcoholism, drug abuse, corruption, pollution, filth, degeneracy, you know, human violence. That's Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. All three of them are traceable back to the Hindus. Judaism is grounding in Hinduism. Christianity is grounding in the Egyptian religion. You know, and Islam, my God, there's a book, there's a huge two-volume set out there that you really need to know about. It's called Moon, M-O-O-N, Moon-O-Theism. Moon-O-Theism. Two huge volumes, about 650 to 700 pages apiece, where this author has just dissected Islam piece by piece, word by word, and one-third of the whole book is footnotes, where this incredible religion actually, in fact, came from. Called Moon-O-Theism. Get it if you can find it and buy it. It's a masterpiece on the lunacy, the incredible lunacy of Islam, based on moon gods and moon worship and sun gods and all this ancient pagantry. I'm telling you, it is an incredible research piece, Moon-O-Theism. And so when you look at the religions of the world, as I said, the three basic ones, why are there three basic religions in the Western world? It all has to do with Hinduism. It all has to do with ancient stuff that we've never been told. You know, that's an extraordinary story in itself. We can talk about that another time.
All right, Joe, thanks for being here tonight. Nice to meet you. You're obviously a man of great resource and knowledge. Jordan was right. And we'll talk to you again.
Thank you.
Okay, be well. Jordan, thank you, as always.
Yep.
What I've done is put on the homepage, under your name, a little something special. And you want to go ahead and take a little, maybe 30 seconds or so here extra to tell people what we're trying to do. We're trying to help Jordan raise a little bit of money for a legal issue.
For my legal defense. I have a terrible legal problem going on that's tearing my life apart. So
very ugly stuff.
I'm asking for help with my legal.
Look right under Jordan's name, and you'll see Save Jordan Maxwell at Yahoo. Just remember that. Save Jordan Maxwell at Yahoo if you've got a little extra.
.com.
Yeah, people know that. Okay. Save Jordan Maxwell at Yahoo.com. You got an extra little bit of change? Just hit that button. That's PayPal, I assume.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And
PayPal.
You can donate right now to Jordan.
That would help me immensely with my court case, which I don't have any way to defend myself.
Indeed.
But it would help.
All right. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
You bet, Jordan. We'll talk again very soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Good night. Okay, that's our program tonight. Tomorrow night, Halloween. Hope you can be here. It should be a lot of fun. It always is. Enjoy your day, and we'll talk tomorrow.